You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello and welcome to Ironcast, and welcome to our first celebrity guest. What an honour to have a social media icon amongst us, Anton. Bazinga, Ethan Payne, welcome to Ironcast.
I'm not a celebrity.
Where do we go from here, Ethan? Who do we get? Danny Dyer?
I'm not a celebrity.
We're at the top. Can we go higher?
I'm not a celebrity.
Why do you not class yourself as a celebrity?
I am a man from Romford that uploads YouTube videos. That's what I am.
And has become a massive celebrity.
Yeah, sure.
When I told my son I was coming and interviewing you, he was buzzing.
Oh,
like he was over the moon.
No, I do think. Yeah, I suppose. So I just still like being normal. Well, like being normal.
By the way, he's gone to school today. Going, by the way, my dad's interviewing Ethan. He is. That's what he's done today.
Yeah.
Massively.
We have to get a picture and send it to him.
100%. Yeah, he'd love that.
Yeah.
You still go back to Romford?
Yeah, I'm local to there. My missus, his family, still like Hornchurch, Romford. So I'm there every weekend, play football around there every weekend. So
is it Legends Nightclub? Is that still around? What was it? Time and Envy?
Time and Envy. No, it shut down. It got shut down. Oh. It's literally recently closed. I knew it as fiction. And then it's sort of Liquid and Envy last couple of years. Then it changed to fiction.
Time and Envy was my, when
yeah,
I was there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The less said about that, the better.
I've heard some stories.
Hey, cool.
Sidemen have really branched out. What about Time and Envy? And have you got a Sidemen nightclub? Time and Envy would be perfect.
Not just yet. Yeah, we should take it over. It's still up for sale.
We should say you're a massive West Ham fan.
Yes.
Can you, like, why?
Why?
Tell us why.
I feel like, again, where I grew up, it was just second nature. Everyone I knew was a West Ham fan. Brought up in a family, you watch West Ham on the weekend. So like as far back as I can remember, I left it in the other room. I got asked to bring memorabilia. I've still got my Dr. Martin's baby kit and I brought that with me.
It's like, no way.
Yeah, it's the official one that I wore when I was that little.
I actually saw that and I thought, you've just got that in the club shop.
No.
It looks brand new.
No, yeah. So my mum, bless her, kept it in like pristine condition. And then obviously I've got a little girl now that's about to be 17 months old. And I whacked her in it the other day. It sort of dwarfs her, but like, it's amazing to see like, and I've still got pictures on my phone of me wearing it on like climbing frames and stuff. So
that's unbelievable.
Yeah. So I've still got the actual one that I wore. So try and keep it in the family.
I love
that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And what was your first game? Do you remember first game over Upton Park?
I think it was against West Brom, but I don't know what it was. I was so small. I used to stand on the seats. So we used to, it's a funny story. It's a company that my dad used to work for called London City Bond. It's like a wine warehouse. Used to give wine to Bobby Zamora, and Bobby Zamora used to give him some tickets in sort of return. So I used to get some tickets in Sir Trevor Brooking stand. I used to stand next to all the like the odd and stand on the seat, and then I've given it large over to the away fans. They're picking me up, going, "Hey, So yeah, that's what I grew up on.
So it was you that was hammering me then. And there was a little kid. There was a little kid in Sir Trevor Brooking's stand. It was you that was hammering me. It must have been.
Probably.
It had to have been.
But I feel like that's what was so great about West Ham is like you could just sit next to someone and they just take you in instantly.
Oh, massively.
That's what it was. And you sort of felt safe around all these like geezers and that. But yeah, here we go. So bang.
Look
that
at
is,
that. That's unbelievable.
That is. I mean, you still see it's a little bit worn, picky.
That is
that,
so
but
pristine.
Yeah, that is.
That's one of my favourite
shirts.
That
is proper feeler. Yeah, look, here we go. Feeler size SB, small boy.
Brilliant. Oh, gosh. No name on the back.
No name on the back. This was like, yeah, just class, man. Class, absolutely class.
That's so one of my favourite shirts.
It's such a lovely kit. This is why, not last season's, the season before, and it sort of looked like this.
Yeah.
Love that kit.
Yeah.
Love that kit. It was like a modern remake, but yeah.
Let's talk about favourite kits then. So right. In your lifetime, what's your top home and away?
Top home and away. Oh, this has got to be home. Like this, the Dr. Martin sponsor is just like iconic for me.
Yeah.
Proper. Dagenham Motors is close. Dagenham Motors is very close. Away kit though. I really like the dark navy with the yellow. The Reebok one.
Yeah. My one. Yeah. That was my first year.
Yeah.
That was my first year.
I love that kit. I had that kit. I don't know if my
By the way, you got it. People in the background shaking their head thinking, oh my God, what's he gone with there?
Mate, I love that kit. I love that kit so much. And to be fair, I know it's recency bias, but our all white number now is...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's lovely.
That's class.
When you put it on, you feel really smart.
Yeah. It's like... Yeah.
You could wear it on a night out.
Mm-hmm. Big time. It's
time
lovely.
Time and envy.
That. Yeah.
Exactly. Come on, Chris. I said less spoken about that, the better for me.
I'm an envy.
tell me about like growing up. Did you have like posters on your wall? Was there any like any West Ham players you were obsessed with?
Yeah. Well, I was talking to Anton beforehand. I used to come to like signing days. I used to do at the bowling and stuff, and I'd have like my book, get everyone sign it, get the pictures with the whole squad. But I had a real like thing for Yossi Benayoun, man. I just love
a player.
I love the way he played, man.
What a player.
Like I used to wear 15 all the time because I
really
I used to get like pain 15. Just love it. Yeah. Love the way he played. And he was here for like such a short sort of spell, but yeah, just love the way he played football.
Anton, you told me something about Yossi Benayoun had that chop and just discombobulated everyone around him.
Yeah,
and Anton, you said like you came up against him on training, you knew that chop was coming, but there's nothing you could do.
Yeah, absolutely nothing you can do. Like he, you know, it was the shape, but he would sometimes shape to chop and fake and continue to go.
Yeah.
So it was like you had to like second guess him. Do you know what I mean? So that's what was odd. But I'm a little bit upset that you said 15 and you've not mentioned me or Rio. It's a disgrace. That's an iconic number for our family.
I know. Listen.
It's an iconic number for our family.
You are fantastic. I got big love for you. I thought you was quality.
Thank you.
But I like playing midfield as well. But I mean, when I started playing football, I was just a bit so I played anywhere in the defensive line. But as I've sort of got better, I like playing in midfield.
Well, we'll get onto that because let's start with the Sidemen and like being a YouTube personality. Like, how did that all start for you, like content creation? It's like 2013 is roughly when you started.
Yeah, well, I started my channel that I currently have around then, but I've been doing it since I was 13 and I'm 28 now, about to be 29. Wow. So yeah, I've been doing it for a very, very long time. And it all started just from wanting to share gaming clips. I think very few people back in the day were just sharing gaming clips. And I was sort of very early to that. And I think that's, again, a blessing because it's so saturated now. I stood out then, but I don't think I'd stand out now, if you know what I mean. But yeah.
Do you know what I find amazing now that I do like podcasts and stuff like that? Content's so hard to get right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And not just that, I think there's times when you go through lulls in it, but you just got to keep going and keep going and keep going. Was that what it was like for you?
Yeah, big time. I've had my trials and tribulations with like getting burnt out and then like the weight of expectations of people. Once you get to a certain size, it feels like everybody wants you to post these videos and post whatever, but sometimes you may not feel up to it or whatever. Things aren't going your way. So yeah, definitely you go through peaks and troughs, but I think one of the main things is like you get an audience that like you for you and then trying to remember that that's what they're actually interested in. They don't care how many times you upload, what you're doing, they just care that you're right and you want to post or whatever. Because it shines through as well. Like if you're enjoying it, they're going to enjoy it.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's what I get when watching you and your missus.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to say it. Like I sit down with my missus and watch it. It's brilliant. I love it.
Quality. So I'll tell you what, it's amazing, right? Anybody over a certain age, they love it. So I get this off of like...
Are you saying I'm old?
No. Because listen, I class myself as old now. I'm a little bit past it. But anyone I bump into that is sort of like my age or older, they're like, mate, the thing you do with your missus, I love it. Because it is just normal. It's normal, raw. Get on there, chat load of waffle with your missus, whatever. And people enjoy it. But I feel like younger generation have this sort of like the social media idea of a relationship where it's like, oh, yeah, you've got to be so in love. Oh, I'm taking her out for coffee. I'm doing this and blah, blah, whatever. And like, I think just, again, the generation, like my generation above, sort of get it a lot more.
Yeah.
And that dynamic, I mean, if you look at Chris and Rosie Ramsey, they're like selling out Wembley Arena.
Yeah.
Is that next? Are you going to, you and the missus?
Who knows? Who knows? It would be quite funny though.
So like YouTubing back in 2013, how quick was the rise? It seemed to be like astronomical, like really quickly.
Yeah, it happened very quickly. But like the bit you don't see is like me posting videos that got 20, 30 views for like 2-3 years. That's a bit that people don't see. Like even if you go back on my channel now, there's a couple of videos with like 120 odd views. And that's sort of where you'd be lucky. I used to do thank you videos for like every 50 subscribers. I'd be like, we just hit 150 subscribers. Thank you so much. Wow. And that would be the video for the day. But yeah, it is. And then you sort of, a new game would come out like FIFA or something like that. And that's always like an opportunity. There's like 2 months around a new release where like, if you hit the ground running, you're going to fly. So that's when it came in cycles and you sort of had to hit it right every year.
Yeah. And then you became part of the Sidemen formed, which is like, I don't know how to describe it for people who may not know, like a super group of YouTubers.
I like to call us a YouTube boy band that have no actual talent, really. JJ's like the only geezer. Again, even he says he just works hard. He ain't actually talented. So it is just like a group of mates. You could find a group of Sidemen in a pub. Like you could find, there's a group chat full of like 6-7 people, but we just decided to film our friendship and sort of it took off from there.
Yeah. And you all lived together at one point and now your exploits are, I mean, it used to be you in your bedroom recording a little message thanking 150 subscribers. Yeah. Now it's like, it's private jets. It's insane.
You're not wrong. It is mega. I always say it's gone too far. Like we'll check in for like a cheap versus expensive video and it'll be like, oh, the expensive team are going on a pro. I say it's gone too far. We've got private jets for like 20 odd people. It's mental. But yeah, that's when this sort of like a pinch yourself moment. It's like, cool.
Do you know what? Hearing you say that, but obviously hearing your journey, it's inspirational, man.
Thank you very much.
I love it. I really do. And because of that, I want to ask the question because a lot of young West Ham fans will be watching this. What would you say to them, any young West Ham fan who wants to be a YouTuber? What would you say to them?
I think the key thing is be authentically yourself. Don't try and copy things. Like there's obviously, you can take inspiration from concepts that people are posting or how they're doing things, but you've always got to put your own spin on it because that's what makes you. And then other people are going to identify you with, and then maybe they can relate to certain aspects. Like that's why the Sidemen's so great because you've got 7 different people. Like I've been through sort of like weight issues, whatever. JJ does boxing. Like there's so many different aspects. It's multifaceted that you can sort of like connect to. So as long as you're putting your own self across and it's you 100% to your core, people are going to be able to go, I like him. I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Man, that's good advice. Also, like being in the Sidemen has given you so many opportunities. And let's talk through some of the ones that I think are cool. Like, getting followed by the West Ham Twitter account.
Yeah.
As a social media personality, that must have been. Do you remember? How did it
happen? Big time. I remember showing my missus. I was like, oh, look, West Ham follow me. West Ham follow me. And it's so funny though, isn't it? Because it's like football club follows all their players, whatever, maybe like sponsors or whatever. Bazinga. What's going on? It's sort of, again, it's always a case of like, how is this happening? But
that's what tells you you're a massive celebrity, though.
Yeah, West Ham only follows 200 people.
Yeah.
Do West Ham follow you, Anton?
Just about. Stay in touch. Any danger, guys? Any danger? I did used to play it. Can you follow me, please?
The other big one is you did a Sidemen charity match right here at the London Stadium. Talking about living every West Ham fan's dream. Mm. Not only did you play at the home of West Ham, you scored.
I scored. Scored a goal. And I think even just in general, like growing up, everyone always thinks, oh, I'd love to play on that pitch. Imagine if I ever got to play on that pitch. And that's just like in an empty stadium, let alone full up, like 60,000 people watched me score a goal at my home stadium. It was mental. And in the build-up to the match, I kept saying to everyone, yeah, playing at my own bitch course, I'm going to score, whatever. And I was just giving it the yappy yappy. But yeah, the fact that I scored the opener as well, like you can't write it. It's like movie script.
How did it feel though?
Oh, I don't even know what happened. Like even now, I watch it back and there's like a couple of different angles where there's one video as well. Someone was wearing a GoPro and like as the ball hits the net, the whole stadium like roars. But like, I don't even remember that.
Did you go cold?
Yeah, like you don't know what's happening. So, right. And I thought, all I've got to do is just hit it hard and low. Hit it hard and low and it goes in. That's what happens. And I see it hit the net and it was sort of, again, I'd been saying, yeah, I want a knee slide. I wanted that moment, you know, where you feel like a footballer.
Yeah.
And I hit the coldest knee slide. I hit the coldest. That's the one thing I was happy. I got the shirt off in time and the knee slide, cameraman right in front of me, got the whole thing. I've retired the boots I was wearing because they've still got chalk on them from where I hit the knee slide.
Wow.
So I retired them and I've kept them safe.
Wicked. Do you know what's crazy? Everything you explained there, I had that when I scored.
Yeah.
Upton Park.
Yeah. Which one? The Fulham one is a
joke, though.
Yeah.
The Fulham one.
I just didn't do the knee slide. I got back up.
I think you could have done better with your celebration for that Fulham.
Yeah, because
you're just going, oh my God.
Mate, if I score a goal like that,
you can't believe it.
That's rude, Chris. Come on. Of course I could.
Did you mean that?
No, 100%.
You swivel on it.
It's one of the greatest goals I've ever scored. No, you're coming out of defence.
Do you know what? But I got them feelings.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those. It was instinct.
Yeah.
The ball come over the shoulder, just hit it.
Yeah.
Just hit it. Just get good connection. And it went in.
Yeah, wallop it.
And do you know what? Going cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Rush of blood.
Yeah.
But you're cold, which is mad.
Yeah.
And then like, you had yours planned. I didn't score many goals. So it was like, what do I do?
What do I do?
You know, that is why the celebration was
What stood out for me was I could hear, so it was really cute actually. So Simon's actually captain Sidemen FC for every charity match. And just as before we'd done the team talk, done the lineup or whatever, who was managing us, Billy Wingrove was managing us that day. And he was like, all right, lads, big moment for one of our players. And then they gave me the captain's armband as well.
That's unbelievable.
I was sort of like a bit emotional already walking out. I walked out with my daughter as well. I was sort of like captain's armband on, walked out with my daughter. And again, this is why I say it was like a movie. You can't write, scoring the opener, winning the match, lifting the trophy. Mental. But yeah, I remember hearing...
Me and Chris are available. manager and assistant manager, we're available.
Yeah, I'll shout you. I remember hearing, it was Toby especially, and he's a person that will always be so happy for other people. He's got loads of goals at Sidemen matches. But I could hear him screaming from like the centre circle. And it's mental how you can pick up on like little things like that. And then because I could tell like, and then I got really emotional when everyone was hugging me because I was like, they know how much like it means to me as well.
Do you know what? You lived what a footballer lives.
Yeah.
Everything you're describing, you lived exactly what a footballer lives.
Yeah.
Like hearing voices you're used to in a packed stadium.
Yeah.
That's why if my mum was, or my dad would have been around the front row and they were shouting my name, I would have heard them.
Yeah.
Really? You gravitate to the voices that you know.
Yeah.
That's so why weird. Training every day is so important.
Yeah.
And people talking on the pitch is so important.
Big time.
It could be 60,000 people, but you'll hear a voice that you're familiar to.
We were chatting just before this, like, you've played in games against Deco.
Yes. Yeah,
Like, who are the big footballers you've come up against?
I think Deco's got to be, he's the biggest. Because, like, I remember playing FIFA Street back in the day, right? And that game was class. And it had all the best. And Deco's on there as like a tidy midfielder, scoring game breakers with him. So then when you're lining up with him in Baku of all places, I'm thinking, what on earth is going on? But I thought, I'm going to give it some. managed to win that game. And I got an assist. So yeah.
I beat Deco.
Lovely.
Was he still unbelievable?
Yeah. Still a player. You can tell. It's just so easy to someone like that, though, isn't it? They just get it, shift it, passing ranges, mental.
What was you like, though? Was you like, you can't touch me? Was you like that?
I will always put in like above and beyond. That's because I feel like that's what I give to even my, I know it's Sunday League, but like I love Sunday League. So I will always put in 150% because I think that's what I bring. I won't stop running the whole game. So that's what my sort of like key ability is.
Question, did you learn that being a West Ham fan, watching, obviously hearing the fans.
100%
Mark Noble-esque, mate, is that the inspiration?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Without a doubt, it influences it. Because I think, again, you grow up and we until recent times, we haven't really been successful. You get relegated, you come back up, you get relegated, come back up. You just want someone that you can tell as soon as they step over the white line, it don't matter who I'm playing, I don't care if I'm playing against Yaya Toure, whoever it is, I'm going to play better than you today. Yeah. Like, put it on them. That's sort of what I do. I try and do that. Anyone that I'm playing against, all right, let me get hold of you and see what happens.
All right, West Ham fans, one way you can support Ironcast and help us rocket up the charts and beat off the competition from other official football clubs podcasts like Chelsea and like Spurs is to get a 5-star rating or review from you. Support me and Ginger on the podcast, chuck us a 5-star rating and review and help us rocket up the charts where West Ham belong, at the top of the table. Back on with the show. So, like, the dream of any West Ham fan is maybe to play at the London Stadium, score a goal, but also to see your team win something.
Yeah.
And boy, did you experience that. There's a great YouTube video which goes all through it, but can you talk us through your day in Prague?
So, that was sort of like, trying to get tickets for that was like gold dust, wasn't it? It was like chaos.
You know people.
I do know people, which again, thank you guys. Thank you guys so much, because I managed to get, like, it's the very key moments that I think when I'm like 60, 70 old, I'll be like, I was the last game at the Bowling, which again, that's even just a mental story. That's like script written in stars. I was at that game. I was at the final. And what I like to be able to do is bring people along that I care about that will also like take it in, and then that's a memory shared with everyone. So like, again, when you're older, you say, remember when we went to Prague for that day and mm-hmm. like, just smash it out. But yeah, it was pretty 100 miles an hour. Landed in Prague in the morning, dropped our things off at a hotel, then sort of just got out, went and met the trophy because they had that in like the square. And then,
did you touch it?
Yeah, did touch it.
Bad luck though, innit?
No, but I've got a picture with the trophy.
Yeah, after. Yeah, I was going to you've since held the trophy.
Yeah, exactly. Heavy artillery, that.
I was actually, I did the trophy lift at Stratford Town Hall, and Kurt Zouma had the trophy, and I said, can I grab it? I've for a picture. And I went to hold it with one arm and I nearly dropped the trophy. Yeah, imagine. So heavy.
Imagine that.
Yeah, no, no iron cast, that'd be that.
It was just a mental day out though. And then I think once I got in the stadium, that was when it sort of all like, you get the, my God, this is going to happen. And
how did you feel like walking into that stadium, like seeing... I remember the warm-up, the atmosphere was already crackling. Yeah.
What was crazy is we'd pretty much packed the old stadium. There weren't many Fiorentina in there. Even like around, I was lucky enough to be just behind the players' friends and family. Looking out to the stadium, it was just everywhere. And I was like, this is our night. Like, there's no way. Can't have packed this stadium like this to then not go and win it. And again, it was like perfect for me to just, where I was sat as well is because all the celebrations were sort of over there as well. The players were over there. Even at the end of the game, they come into that corner, giving it large. So it was sort of like, I was just watching it all. Like, oh my God, it's happened. Cried like a little baby, of course. Like, but you can't put a price on anything like that, can you? Like, and especially when you're with people with like, hugging them, crying. It's like, oh my God, we've done it.
I say this a lot, that I'm thankful that I was alive to watch it, to witness it, you know, because a lot of West Ham fans before us who have supported West Ham for many, many years and sadly weren't here to witness it. So that in itself for me plays a massive part in how special it was.
I said to my missus, I said, like, you got to understand, right? So like, having my daughter scoring a goal here and watching us win a trophy, there's not much between all three of them, right? There's not much between. And I was trying to say, like, that us having that trophy, it might never happen again in my lifetime. Like, I might not see us win anything European ever again. That's just the nature of the beast. But listen, things are trending in the right direction, thank God.
Your missus not saying, where am I in that list? She's not saying, where am I in that list?
Yeah, listen, I've got space for top three.
yeah. And it's funny you say about people crying, because like, I was chatting to Joe Cole about this and he said, he said, don't want to brag, but I've been on the pitch when trophies have been won a few times in my career. He said, but I never saw anything like I saw in Prague because everyone in the West Ham end was in tears.
People
in the stand, I was the same. People around me, grown men, 60, 70 years old, floods of tears. Mm. And I think it's like you say, it's because it just meant so much to everybody. It was such an outpouring of emotion. Yeah. It was impossible not to get caught up in it.
Yeah, it is. It's sort of like that trophy is the physical, real thing there that you can touch of like, we've been waiting our whole life for this. Like, that's what I tried to say as well, is like, I've known West Ham, obviously you don't remember like zero to whenever, but I've known West Ham my whole life and that I've been attached to that my whole life. It's my longest relationship. It will be my longest relationship. So having the physical manifestation thing there, like, oh my God, we've done it, is like, yeah, just happy tears come out.
Oh man, I'm getting goosebumps.
It's lovely.
About it. Anton, you made your way, didn't you? You were there on the open top bus parade as well.
Yeah. I thought I knew people at the club, but I didn't get a ticket for the game.
What?
I didn't. I couldn't get one.
Nah.
Couldn't. However.
Shout them.
However, the parade.
Parade look like went off.
Was though. Unbelievable.
And I thank you. That day.
And I thank everybody who made it possible for me and my son to be able to go to the parade.
That's sick.
It was unbelievable. I got videos where my son actually thinks they're singing for him. it's absolutely brilliant. Sick. It is brilliant.
I was traveling back that day. Dave Sullivan texted me. I was like, I think it was Jack. Jack or Dave texted me like, oh, we're doing the parade today. I was like, I'm on a flight back, but I would have loved to have been there.
It was unbelievable.
I would have loved to have been
there. It was mad. Yeah. The streets of East London.
But again, even that, the whole community was out climbing lampposts, climbing telephone boxes. And yeah, it just means so much to everybody that's sort of like attached to the club.
It epitomises West Ham. Yeah. The fact that there were so many people stuck out in Prague.
Yeah.
But the streets were filled of claret and blue.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Big time.
I remember I was at the town hall and I think the bus was late because there were so many people in the street. It was like 2 hours later, the presentation of the town hall, and there was a kid who'd been stood on top of a bus stop, you know, the bus stop pole.
Yeah.
He was clambering onto this bus stop for like 2 hours.
Nah.
Like, are you all right, mate? Are you going to slide down that pole? It was just incredible scenes. And
mental.
So we had a wonderful summer. And then we've made some brand new signings, Ethan, you know, Kudus, Alvarez. Yeah. What have you made of the new boys this season?
So like, James Ward-Prowse, right? I can't believe that we got a free run at him for 30 million. That don't make sense to me. English midfielder, literally like mustard, right? Like, he's just amazing. Deliveries, everything, amazing. That is a steal. That's proper bargain. Kudus, player. player.
Yeah.
Like anyone he plays against, player. Alvarez, I like it. Proper like it. That's a bit of me. That's what I like.
Yeah.
Get into him.
Calvin Phillips as well.
Calvin
midfield.
Phillips, yeah. I'm excited to see how he gets along because I think as soon as he starts stringing more minutes together, I think you'll get him back to where he was. So, yeah, I'm excited to see that.
And then you actually unveiled Lucas Paquetá.
Yeah, that's
mental. Mean, that's another pinch-me moment.
That is mental. Again, always blessed to do stuff with West Ham. So, but when you know that you've got, again, player. Yeah. You've got someone like him coming over. And I mean, that day's quite funny because he don't speak a lick of English. Translator next to him. So I'm sitting there nodding, but like all I'm thinking is, this is class. Like, he's going to be so good. And then if he is so good, I'm the one that sort of brought him into the stadium. It was me. I did it. Hello, mate. Yeah, how are you? Welcome to West Ham. Obviously, we're massive. I think that was one of the lines in there as well. So, yeah.
Did you leak the transfer? Did you get in trouble for leaking it?
Yeah, it was a slight comeuppance. Yeah. Slight comeuppance.
Overexcited.
just someone that I was... Yeah, someone that I knew messed up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hear the content team tutted around us. Oh, I see. You're in the good books now.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, Sidemen, you've got this brand new Netflix documentary coming out soon.
It's out now. Come out on Valentine's Day. So any ladies out there that had boyfriends that like the Sidemen, sorry. But yeah, it's been out now 2 days. Yeah.
But was it like filming a documentary for Netflix?
Well, basically, we have like just this catalogue of loads of behind the scenes footage that was sort of captured over the last couple of years. So there was loads of this just log of what the Sidemen get up to and what we do covering the charity match at Charlton. It's a shame the one here wasn't in it, but it was filmed like a little while ago. And then obviously has to go through all the edits. But yeah, it is, because I was trying to explain this, because I am one of the Sidemen, I wake up every day and live it. So like I wake up, the chat's going off, what we're doing this week, whatever. It's only when you have something like that, like a piece that you sit down and watch and you go, we've done a lot. We have done a lot. Yeah. So yeah, that again, that is now just like a piece in time that people can sort of look into and be like, oh, this is what they did. This is what they still do. Who knows how long we're going to carry on, but yeah.
That's legendary and legacy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you've got a daughter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So exactly. That's something for her to watch.
Exactly, yeah. I always think that, like, we got a big TV in the living room and she usually watches all our cartoons on it. But then every now and then if, like, there's a Sidemen video, whatever, she goes, daddy, daddy. Hmm. And I always, it's quite hard to grasp the concept of how to say, like, yeah, this is what daddy does. He's just like having fun with his mates on the TV. But that's where I go to work.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Wicked. Ethan, it's been so much fun chatting. Your love for West Ham really shines through. But one final question. Who's your favourite player of all time? Are you going to stick with Yossi or is there...
Oh, that's too hard to end on because now my brain's going mental. My brain's going mental. Listen here, I had a real sort of affection for Yossi. But it's always going to be Nopes. It's always going to be Nopes. Because again, it's the type of player I like 100%, put it in every game, no matter what. He's never given you below like an 8 for West Ham, is he? Like, he's always putting it in. So yeah, it's got to be him.
Oh man, there you go.
Wicked.
Thanks very much, Bazinga. And thank you for listening. This has been Ironcast, first celebrity guest in the bag. He's not a celebrity, but thanks to Bazinga nonetheless. We'll see you next week. Come on, you Irons.
Podcast Network.